Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Wellfar. I'm Amy Lane, and each week we break down the barriers to running so you can get more from your time in your trainers. I'm currently taking an extended break to learn how to juggle a toddler and a newborn, but that doesn't mean you have to rest up too. So I thought it would be handy to revisit some of our most loved and most listened to episodes from the past seasons. The advice and expertise is as useful today as it was back then. So prepare yourself for the cracking tips from the experts around the globe. Together, we'll help you reach your running goals this year. Today's episode is a rerun from season one, and it's a fabulous mix of expert advice and inspiring run chats, plus a 16-week guide tailored to support your marathon journey. So if you've started 2022 with that goal in mind, or if you are just keen to run for fun, then we are here to help you through. Keep up the good work. And when you start flagging, why not get involved in the Wellfar Strava Club or support each other from afar on Instagram using the hashtag Wellfar. I hope you enjoy this episode and I really hope it helps you to keep going Wellfar this year. Welcome to Wellfar, the weekly running podcast that will be by your side as you train for 26.2. It's hosted by me, Amy Hopkinson. By day, I'm Women's Health Digital Editor, but when not in the office, I'm a marathon runner too. So this year, with the race on the horizon, I'm here to help with blisters and bruises, runners' highs and lows, what to eat before Sunday run day, and how the heck you refuel after. No doubt you're already wondering why on earth you signed up to run a race and questioning if the blisters, chafe and dark runs are worth it. So today I bring you the ultimate runspiration in the form of Team GB runner Dina Asher-Smith. So put on your trainers, plug yourself in and let's crush your anxieties with her best training advice. Welcome back, everyone, to Wellfar Episode 2. I want to start today by saying a big thank you for every like, comment, DM and kind word which has come my way in the past week. And also not forgetting the thousands of you who have listened to Wellfar. It has been the most amazing thing to watch so many people engage with marathon training, but more than that, running and just being healthy over the past week. So thank you. And now moving on to today's episode. I sat earlier on my sofa and I'd just come in of a run actually, thinking about what I wanted to share with you. And I thought long and hard whether I should talk about my training and do something a bit techie. And then I thought, actually, no, I'm going to talk to you about how I'm feeling. And I can sum that feeling up in one word, and it is overwhelmed. In the past week, I've really had to get used to getting up on time again. Over Christmas, I was quite laissez-faire with my lifestyle. I didn't set an alarm clock, so I got up when I wanted to. I then ate when I wanted to, and I worked out when I wanted to, if I did work out. And there was no other pressure in my day. But now, suddenly, I am back at work and I'm having to squeeze workouts in before the office or after the office and really get used to routine and structure again, alongside ramping up the mileage and getting back on my feet running again multiple times a week. And so in the first week of Jan, I kind of muddled through, so it was only 3 days or so. But this week, a full week of it has been quite tough. And so, I am feeling quite overwhelmed with it all. And I wanted to share that in case you are too, because maybe your life is a bit like mine. At the moment, I've got a few things on the go at the same time. So I'm launching this podcast and finding my feet with it. I'm planning a wedding. And then Women's Health is gearing up for our biggest year yet. So I'm spinning multiple plates alongside my marathon training. So if you are doing the same and you are finding it quite tough, maybe you have a full-time job and you have a family, or you have a full-time job and a side hustle and you're doing marathon training, just know it's not just you that's finding it tough. A lot of us are too. And so what I decided to do with today's episode was bring on the biggest running inspiration I think there is. And that is Dina Asher-Smith. So coming up on this episode is a brilliant chat that I had with Dina in a secret location in Soho in London. And then followed by that, there is another inspiring athlete, but an everyday athlete who is juggling a massive fitness challenge with her everyday job and also a family life. So please, please, please do listen on to the end to see who that is. I'm not going to spoil it for you. So get ready, guys. Plug yourself in and enjoy episode 2. Oh, and if you are perhaps listening to this podcast on a run or a walk, please do take a picture and share it with me on social media. If you use hashtag Wellfar, I will be searching for that and I can see your journeys too. So here's to episode 2, guys, and another week of conquering a bit of the distance towards a marathon. Enjoy. I am so excited today to be here with Dina Asher-Smith, the breakout Team GB star we've all been waiting for. Not only did she win gold in the 100 metres, 200 metres and 4x100 metre relay at this year's European Championships, but she graduated from King's College London with a degree in history and is super down to earth. I couldn't think of someone more inspiring than her to motivate us all to get training this winter than Dina. Welcome.
Well, that's a really nice intro. Thank you so much.
No, I mean, you are one busy woman.
Yeah, I mean, I love being busy because obviously it keeps your mind so active. But yeah, very, very busy. But it's been great since, obviously, the Europeans.
What a 2018.
Yeah, it was really, really special. I mean, I kind of surpassed all my expectations going into it. I'd hoped that I would run fast. I hoped that I would do well at the European Championships. But obviously to come away with three golds and 2 new British records is pretty special.
Wow. And was there anything you did differently in your training to make that happen?
Weirdly enough, I don't think there was. I think the biggest change was my mindset, because the year before in 2017, I broke my foot in February and then I had the World Championships in August to make, which six months. So I had to kind of come back, have a surgery, put some screws in off my feet for 2 months, three months. Yeah. And then walk, jog, run, sprint again, and then be in world-class shape for the World Championships. So that in itself was a test. Who didn't know if I could do it, both mentally and physically, all at the same time, like, I was graduating as well. So it's quite stressful. But I managed to kind of pull it off, and I came fourth in the world, and we got a silver medal in the relay, which is quite strange, because I didn't think that I could do that well after having that kind of year. I thought that I could make it back and I could be in world-class shape, but I didn't think that I maybe could make top 8 in the world, let alone almost get a medal at the World Championships and come fourth. So that experience gave me so much confidence going into this year, because I thought, hey, if I've had like 6 weeks training and that happened, if as long as I stay injury free, it can be pretty good this year. But yeah, I think it was a change in my mindset, just having a lot more self-belief and self-confidence in my own abilities, because before then I didn't think that I could do that kind of thing, and then it happened, so I was like, just go for it.
I suppose, was that your first experience of big injury?
It was the biggest injury I've ever had, yes, but it wasn't my first experience with injury. But I feel like the way that I tackled this one was different, because I kind of just told myself that I was going to be relentless with my rehab. I was going to be very, very focused with how I came back, and I wasn't going to take no for an answer. I thought that I was just going to try and hope for the best, really, and really push the boundaries and see, as push my body and my mind to the max to make sure that I could come back for the World Championships. Didn't know if I could pull it off, yeah. And we made it. But
amazing. And obviously, because you were less physically active, so did you find that you had to stay more mentally active?
I was finishing my degree, so I had my dissertation to do, I had my exam, so I remember being very stressed, like mentally, like, oh my gosh, it's so difficult, don't want to fail my degree. But physically, actually, I was training far more than I normally do, because even though I train 6 days a week anyways, I don't know how much more you could do. But obviously with the rehab, when I could move my foot, when I wasn't in the cast, I was doing doing exercises every single day and getting treatment every day. I also kept the rest of my body active. So I was doing a lot of core, a lot of upper body, a lot of work on my hips and my hamstrings. And I was running in an underwater treadmill from 6 weeks after my operation. I was back in training like a week, as in the rest of my body, a week after my operation when the anesthetic wore off. So I was walking and running from 6 weeks post-op. So I had a lot of work in me. I was very strong, which is why when I was able to run, I was in good shape because I'd been, yeah, really relentless with my rehab. Yeah.
That's very impressive.
Stressful, but it paid off.
Yes. And you've just mentioned that you do a lot of core work.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that that is, as much as you do obviously a lot of run training, do you do a lot of strength training and stability work?
I do so much core and stability. I think personally I'm hypermobile and quite clumsy, so coordination is also in there. Believe it or not, I'm one of those people that needs coordination exercises to keep me putting one foot in front of the other and not tripping over my own feet. But I do a lot of core sprint, especially with sprinting, how you hold yourself up and your core strength around your hips, obviously your abs and your obliques is really, really important, because if you think about it, we run around in a circle so much, and if there's as little movement through the middle, as little instability in the middle as possible, then you go forwards more efficiently. So lots and lots of core, lots of stability work, especially after you broke your foot. You need your ankle to be as strong as possible, and coordination because I'm clumsy.
You have become the fresh face of athletics, which I think that we've been looking for. Do you find that's a bit of a pressure? Or
weirdly enough, I actually don't really find it pressurizing. I mean, in terms of wanting to do well, yeah, I mean, you have to train hard. I don't want to have people kind of look up to me and then kind of not do well. But at the same time, I don't think it's pressurizing, because as you said, athletics, I think, as a sport, as an Olympic sport, we have a different kind of relationship with the public than people in maybe team sports do. So like, say if you're a footballer, they either love you or hate you, not because of your personality, but because you either play for Man United or Man City. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I think with athletics, I think people just genuinely hand on heart want you to do well. And that's what I really love, because as long as I stand up there and I, in earnest, try my best, which I know I'm going to do, people generally are happy. I mean, yeah, you might have people saying, oh, you could have done better today. But you know, that could have happened. I'll be thinking that myself as well. But I think it is the Olympic sport, so people feel pride and they just want you to do as well as you want. And I feel like I don't really see that as pressure. I see that as something that's really nice and gratifying, because it's a nice feeling when you know there are so many people behind you. And as long as kind of you try your best, they're proud of you.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of where I am at right now. Obviously, people want me to go out there and do really good things, which is nice too. But I do think as athletes, we have that thing where they can see if you're honestly trying your hardest, and you can see if somebody beats you, you can see that they did incredibly as well and they respect your competitors. That's the relationship I think we have. And it's very nice. I think that goes for so many athletes as well, because you've got so many people like Laura Muir and so many fantastic other athletes that are doing a similar thing.
Do you all hang out together?
I want to say no, but that's not because we don't like each other. It's because we all train so far. Laura's up in Scotland. Some of my friends train in Florida. Some of them train in the south of France. Some of them train in Loughborough. I'm here in London. So we WhatsApp.
Do you?
But it's like lots of people are on different time zones, just because people often tend to, because obviously we're trying to achieve our dreams and our goals. So we'll move to train in the best environment for us. Some people that's the West Coast of America. Some people that's Florida, south of France, Italy, Loughborough, Manchester, Birmingham, Scotland, or me. I know. So we don't see, and especially for training 6 days a week, we don't see each other too much, because we're kind of all focused on just achieving our potential, really.
But you have that virtual support.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I don't think loads of people have WhatsApp friendships now, don't they?
Yeah.
But you don't, especially with like working day life, we don't see your friends too often, but you've got a group chat, so you can pop in everything there. But yeah.
And you mentioned earlier on when you did a talk that training is obviously really hard on body and mind,
mm-hmm.
with what you do, obviously, because you have to work at your maximum when you're on the track. How do you balance that out
with like day-to-day life?
Well
I think it's quite interesting, because I kind of chose myself to make my life as performance orientated as possible, but not that it's so intense all the time, but so I get some rest from having to be so focused on track. Because when I turn up to training, I turn up to do the best work I can, to kind of push myself to the limit in that short exercises or whatever I'm doing, whether that's track or gym, and then rest. So when I like moved out from my parents' house, I moved into a very quiet, semi-secluded environment, not because I like don't want to see people, but it's because I want no distractions. And when I'm at home and I want to rest, I want it to be calming, I want it to be quiet, and I want it to be somewhere where I can truly switch off. Yeah. And I just personally, for me, and with the life that I lead, obviously having to be so focused and do well on track, I didn't think being in a hustle and bustle environment would be good for my well-being, simply because I wanted to be able to chill. And I think having that balance, particularly where I live, what I do on track, that's what I felt like I needed.
Because a lot of the women which are listening into this podcast, they're about to start their own running journey. They're obviously not going to try and race you, and they're going on a different one.
I mean, you can. So I'm here for. No, I'm joking.
I mean,
that's my job.
There's an open invitation for you guys.
Maybe not down the street, though. Even though I tend to be always in sportswear, so we could go, but...
She is now. I am looking at Dina, who is in a bright neon Nike jumper, leggings and trainers. She is raring to go.
Oh, no, honestly, this is my like day-to-day attire, because... as I'm sure like so many people can identify with, I'm like, you've got so many things to do in a day. So often I start with like, well, I mean, other people might start with like classes, but I start with like gym, 9 a.m. Right. gym, pushing it. So obviously I'm in sports clothes, but then I've got like stuff like this. So fun interviews, I've got meetings, I might be going shopping. So I need to be able to have something that like reacts to my environment. I need to be able to be comfortable so I can focus on what I'm doing, but also be presentable in the yeah. day and neat. And for me, I like always wear like colourful, bright clothing because it's like my mood. Often right. I try and stay happy.
Yeah.
But it's always, I've got to be versatile. So yeah, that's what I mean. You can race me down the street. I'll, 9 times out of 10, I'll be in trainers. If I'm in boots, then you know I'm going to a dinner. So maybe not.
And then we might win.
No, no, I'm joking. No, but like, I can still run in heels, you know. Look at me being competitive. Everybody, I get asked so often to race by, or typically it's men, and they're like, oh, if they see me in heels, I can beat you. I'm like, look, I can take the heels off. I'm like, I'm still fast in bare feet. So we can go if you want. But that's honestly, this is the athlete mentality you got.
So do you believe that it's kind of really good to, when you're in your training, you give it everything that you've got,
oh, yeah.
so that when you're not training, you can then leave that behind and have some mental definitely. Switch off? Is that how you work?
Yeah, I definitely live by that go hard or go home mentality.
Right.
And I just think, but maybe it's because I'm very fortunate that what I do, I love. It's a passion. I love running. I love racing.
Yeah.
Training? No, I'm being honest. Like, no, it's real. I know lots of athletes where training is very hard. Like, training is often tougher than competition. That's the way it's meant to be. Training gets you ready to run well. If you train well in the winter and you push yourself, running in the summer is very easy. When you want to run those times, I mean, it's okay, wait, slow down. It's not easy. Still lots of stuff to do. But I mean, like, it's the fitter you are and you put that work in winter, the easier running fast times feels, if that makes sense. So it's like, if you know that you've gone to the gym and you've done everything to the best of your ability, when it comes to running on the track or maybe running on the street or on the road, then suddenly you find yourself running times that you previously found really hard, but you know you put that extra work in.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So with that mentality in mind, and besides the fact I'm very fortunate that my job is running the straight line.
Yeah.
Very nice job. And also that I know that as an elite athlete, I probably have a finite career. I might be retiring at 30 or 32. So I always think, look, when you got training, I'm only going to be doing this hard, horrible, grueling exercise for like, what, the next 2 hours, 3 hours. Just go for it, focus, no distractions, and push yourself. And then I can go and relax and chill. And then yeah. get ready and then do the same thing tomorrow. Just because I know that, yeah, my career is finite. And I'm in this moment in winter, this is my time to work. And if I want to achieve my goals and achieve my dreams, I have to focus and work hard. So when I want to perform well in the summer, running fast is really easy. Well, it's not
again,
as
not easy,
easy as possible. You know, like if you still run a race, you're still going to see me on TV like, I'm exhausted. What do you mean I have to talk on BBC in 5 minutes? Can I get my breath back? No, we're going live in 3, 2. And I'm like, hi, everybody. Yeah, that was really good. And then when the camera goes, I'm like, lactic. Yeah, literally live.
I love that. Is there anything that you've been working on with your coach recently? So is there a cue which he keeps repeating to you, which has made a difference to your running?
Yeah, we work on so many things. I think just every year we want to do everything better.
Right.
As strengths and weaknesses. So we work to turn weaknesses into strengths and make my strengths even better and push myself even further. So I think for me, being efficient is the number one. Obviously, that body and mind, reducing distractions when I run, focusing on on holding my positions, coming through my phase as well, and ultimately winning the race.
Yes.
There are loads of things. I feel like I've been with my coach since I've known my coach since I was 8 years old. So he's like a second dad to me. It's been a really, really long relationship. I hold him in such high esteem because honestly, he's a very, very intelligent, but also very humble and just a great guy. And I feel very fortunate to be under his pupillage.
Does he, a lot of what I do in my running and a lot of what I see other women do is that when it gets really tough, like you forget about your breathing or it becomes really laboured and you're like, you lose your position, don't you? And you're just like, I just want to get to the end of this run. Does he ever say to you like, Dina, up straight?
Definitely. When we're fatigued and when you're running, so for example, a few days ago, I ran a split 400, which you run, so you split the 400 into two 200s. So you blast a 200 like you're running in a race, then you'll have like, and you'll be really achy and tired, run as fast as you can. Then you have like a minute and then you do it again. And then you have a break and then you do that whole session again. You can imagine why I'm like, training's hard. I know. But the point is that you're meant to run to your max, and it's really a test of how well your endurance, your speed endurance is. So for me, that is making sure that my mind stays focused, because it's very, very easy when you're actually tired. The first thing to go is your focus and your concentration and your mind. You start thinking, as soon as you start thinking, oh my gosh, I'm tired, then suddenly you're not thinking about what your body's doing just for that split second. And my life goes, medals are won and lost in hundreds of thousands of seconds. So you can't really afford for your mind to be doing that. And in that moment, when he sees that maybe my arm starts to flop a bit, or I start to be, my body starts to go a bit wobbly, it is that pick up and relax and keep stay focused. Because even though I'm tired, even though my mind is telling me that I'm tired, your body might not actually be feeling the same. As I kind of learned throughout the years, that your mind is often weaker than your body is in itself. So as long as you tell your mind, no, I can do this, your body will find a way. I mean, I'm not saying push yourself to injury, but you know what I mean? So it's just about keeping your mind in track. And he was often shouting at me to stay focused and push through the line, which is obviously telling you that keep your mind on it because your body can do it.
I love that. And obviously we're having this chat over you sipping a green tea. And you recently spoke about that you've been quite disciplined with your diet this year. And you were really looking forward to having a massive cheat day at the end of season. Do you think like the dietary discipline has helped your training?
Definitely, because ultimately you are made up of what you eat. You are made up of what you put in. So I try and put in good quality proteins, appropriate carbohydrates, so I have the energy to finish all my sessions to the maximum capability. Because I feel like people try and like miss out on carbs when their training. And obviously this time of year when I'm doing lots and lots of hard work, I need my energy levels to be up so I can finish the reps to my maximum capability. But obviously when I'm racing and I'm doing 10 second bursts, I can drop them a bit, but I still need them in because I need the energy. That's where you get your energy from. So you need your carbohydrates. But definitely high protein, high in fiber, spinach, you know, all those 5-a-day things that everybody told us at school. I'm actually one of those people that abides by that lifestyle. But I do love a cheat day.
You do love a cheat day.
Oh, gosh, yes. warm brownies and ice cream, cake.
Oh, is it sweet stuff you really crave?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I just want a pizza or a Chinese. But yeah, often it's sweet stuff that I crave.
And so to round this amazing chat off that we've had, you're just such a bubble of energy.
Oh,
and it's so lovely to sit here with you. But for the women which are starting their own running journey, what's one piece of advice that you would give them to help them stay on that journey? Because I think it's quite easy to give up.
It is.
When you start running, because it's quite solitary sometimes.
Can be, yeah.
So do you have any advice for women starting out?
Probably have more than one tip. Firstly, podcasts, music, something in your ear so you don't feel, so you're not just kind of going through it. Because, so you've got something to listen to. Try and maybe do it with a friend. That makes it always so much easier. Yeah, I would just say be patient with yourself and be forgiving to yourself as well, because there might be days that you wake up and you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
That's real. Like, I feel that not every day, but I feel that often with training as well. When you wake up and you're like, oh, I don't want to do this. But then you kind of just got to be like, remember why you're doing it, remember why you started. Because I'm not going to sit here and pretend that every day you're going to feel 100%, yeah, wake up, bounce full of energy, and then you're going to go smash it out. Sometimes you're going to do it when you don't feel like it, but that's when you make the most improvements. That's when you're actually kind of growing yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's the time when maybe it would be easy to drop off and be like, yeah, I don't feel like it today. And then you get into the routine. But you've got to be forgiving to yourself and allow yourself to feel like you don't want to do it, and don't punish yourself and don't think, oh, I'm so bad, I don't want to do it. Like, that's normal, but do it anyway. And that's when the improvements come, because that's when it becomes something that becomes ingrained to your life. And that's when it has the effect on your health and your mood. But yeah, be forgiving, be patient with yourself. Improvements won't come all the time, but stick at it. Yeah.
I love that. I'm just now imagining you waking up and doing like visualizations of your big goals.
No, honestly, you've just got, because I think people often think that athletes 24/7 are like, yeah, I want to do it. Which, I mean, so often we are, and I have to admit that our lives are more tailored towards that mentality than most people. But at the same time, yeah, there are days when I wake up and I'm like, oh, I've got a really, really nasty session today. Don't feel like it. But I also know that each day is a little piece in a big puzzle. So you have to do each piece if you want to see the end result. And I might turn up to the track and I might not be in the mood, but that doesn't mean that I'm not going to give 100%. You don't have to be feeling it to still try your best, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally know that.
Yeah.
And so last thing, what is your goal for 2019?
Oh, run faster than I did the year before. Ooh. That's always my goal. Always, okay. Always. I want to improve. I want to always be the best person, the best athlete that I can be, run faster, be more efficient than I was the year before.
Well, I cannot wait to follow this journey, and I'm sure everyone else at home will be behind you and rooting for you. It's the best place to follow you on Instagram.
Oh, Instagram, Twitter, yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It is a Tuesday lunchtime and I am just about to meet Sophie Power for a run, and she is an ultra runner who basically came onto our radar last year when she stopped halfway through a race to breastfeed her child. And so she had baby in one hand, bottle in the other, whilst everyone else was refueling on gels. So here goes today's run chat. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, how are you doing?
I am so good, and I'm so happy to be going on a run with you today.
Me too. It's beautiful sunshine.
It is beautiful, isn't it? Should we go to the park?
Let's go.
Let's go. So, Sophie, you are an ultra runner.
Technically, yes.
Are you a professional ultra runner, or are you just somebody who loves ultras?
Definitely someone that just loves ultras. I mean, I never really did the whole going up from 5K to 10K marathon. I went straight in an ultra.
You're joking.
No, I mean, I guess the backstory is, so I never ran as a kid. I was not the sporty kid in any way. I was second last in the mile at school and never thought anything of it until I'd been made redundant in a really bad way from work and didn't know what to do. It's kickboxing for fitness.
Yeah.
And my friend had done the marathon to Saab that year. And this is the 250-kilometer multi-day ultra marathon across the Sahara Desert. And he said, you know what? You should go do this. And I'm like, look, so I've never run more than a mile. He said, look, you can track it. Most people walk it. You're really good at tracking. So with 9 months to go, I signed up, never having run a mile, but quickly realized that I was actually really good at long, slow running.
Right.
And since then, took it from there, and that was 9 years ago.
Wow. And so you trained for the 9 months and you did Marathon de Saab, Ultra. And how was that?
It was incredible. I mean, I guess as training, so you're going to go, so my first training run, I was like, I better learn to run. And then did some kind of these amazing kind of stage races you can do in the UK, which you can actually walk as well. So you can walk an ultra, you don't have to run it.
Okay.
Or walk run it. There's ones that are 30 miles a day for 3 days, and the Pilgrim's Challenge, which is about 30 miles Saturday. You stay overnight and the sports will come back on the Sunday. So I did those, and then the marathon started. I realised I was a lot stronger than I expected, especially over the distance, over the terrain. And I just love being in the company of amazing people where the last question anyone asks you what you do for a living or where are you from, kind of, they just care about kind of talking to you. And it's really quite amazing. And you don't, but you don't sleep along the way. So that depends. Spartathlon, no. So that was a 7 a.m. start and the cutoff was 7 p.m. the next day. Right. So I knew I wouldn't be able to sleep with the pace. It's a very quick pace and they time a lot of people out. So only about 1 in 3 finish. UTMB, I had 20 minutes over 2 nights. So you get hallucinations, which are a bit strange, but you get through them.
Yeah, I mean, how do you even start to deal with that? I mean, I know I get grumpy if I don't get my 7 hours.
I think our bodies can do so much more than we believe them capable of. I think it's kind of like kind of childbirth. You never think you can get through that kind of pain, and then actually your body just gives you the ability to do it. And people can look at, well, how can you run non-stop for 36 hours or kind of 43 hours? How do you keep going? And your body just does if it wants to and you want it to. And I guess you have to have a kind of real reason to want to do it.
Yeah.
But we've got so much adrenaline and it just fights its way through it. But I think ultras is all about, for me, the camaraderie, the people, the nature. You run in beautiful locations.
Yeah.
So I choose really pretty races in the mountains, in kind of, I love North Downs and South Downs way. I run them most years, the 50 or the 100 miler, the Alps UTMB, or for Gran Canaria, just Trans Gran Canaria, which is gorgeous. So I think it's an adventure. I think it's fitness related. And I also just think you make most of my best friends I've actually made through ultra running.
UTMB was the one where you stopped to breastfeed your son along the way. So was he about 3 months old?
So he was, yeah, he was just, yeah, 3 months old.
And you took off on that run and then your husband brought your child to you.
Yes.
And it's that famous picture, baby in one hand, breast pump in another, and it went viral. Did you ever expect that to happen?
Oh my gosh, no.
No.
I mean, so where the pictures, to give me some context, so Ultra Tour de Mont Blanc is 106 miles, a non-stop race around Mont Blanc. It's a classic trekking route. The cutoff's 46 hours and there's over 10,000 metres of elevation. So that's more than combined going up and down Everest.
Okay.
And it's an iconic race. It's probably the most well-known trail ultra, like the big one that people work up to. So the photo was 50 miles in. So we set off on Friday at 6 p.m. This is 10 a.m. the next day.
Okay.
In this massive sports hall. And I just found a quiet place outside. Bodies everywhere. Everyone's run through the night. Blisters, everyone's knackered, trying to feed. No one knows what anyone else is doing. And suddenly this guy comes over to my husband and says, can I take a picture? And my hubby's like, okay. Like, why? And he's like, look, you know, I'm working with Runner's World and working with Strava and we're sharing some pictures and look, like take a picture. And I'd missed out on this race 4 years previously because they wouldn't defer my post due to pregnancy. And I ran it with a 3-month-old baby because they wouldn't defer it again, but they defer for injury. And then my world exploded for a while because I think people saw the story on such a deeper level and the reasons behind why I was doing it. And it wasn't about UTMB. It wasn't just about their pregnancy deferral. It was about, you know, women are really capable much more than we think and what others think. And our bodies are amazing.
Because to lead up to that picture, you obviously had to train for the race whilst pregnant.
Yes.
Did you find that, if you haven't seen Sophie's training on Instagram, you do need to check it out, doing those tricep dips at 8 months pregnant is simply inspiring. But did you find that a lot of people maybe reacted perhaps negatively to such intense training whilst pregnant?
No, because it wasn't really intense.
Right.
I mean, I never started anything new. So I was I've been weight training for longer than I've been running. And it was natural before pregnant to kind of crack up pull-ups with the weight belt on. So then I had a belly that was my weight belt. We weren't taking any risks. Every exercise got dropped that I'd normally do my weights workout when it just didn't feel right. And if you go by what your body feels, that's the best assessor, not any specific guidelines.
Yeah, because I was going to say, there's been quite a lot of research from Sport England into saying that one of the reasons that a lot of women don't do fitness is because they feel guilty about its time away from their family, so maybe they shouldn't. However, but when they do it, it's the best they felt, and then they can go back in feeling positive again. Is that...
Exactly, and like, I think it's everything I've been saying, it's I'm a better mother when I've gone for a run. I'm a much better mother. I'm a better mother when I'm fit, because I'm better placed to take care of my kids. I mean, last night, my son woke me up 6 times. And I swear I'm still functioning, because I'm actually kind of like some level of fitness. Yeah, I think my longest stretch of sleep last night was about 1.5 hours. I was like, oh my God. The big thing that kept me going UTMB was my then 3-year-old saying, Mummy, I really want to run. I can't wait to run across the line with you.
Oh.
Like, I really hope we get there. And he did his own little 400 meter race for 3-year-olds. So, it was the cutest thing ever.
So that picture was the second picture that stole my heart. you with your 3-month-old and then your little one just crossing the line.
I mean, that was in my mind for most of those 43 hours. That really kept me going. And I was never a sporty kid, as I said. And I think for me, wanting to bring my kids up with a love of fitness of any sort throughout their day, kind of just being active, is really important to me. So that kept me going too.
It's amazing. And you're actually, so aside from being a mum, an ultramarathon runner, you're also a female entrepreneur as well.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you've started a business to help clean up our air.
Exactly. So actually, it was also down to the kids. So when I was pregnant with Danica, I was walking along kind of polluted roads in London. And so we moved our family out to Surrey 3 weeks ago, partly because of it, but we've been living in Islington. And the air's very polluted. And there was no technology that could protect him, because you can't, you can clean the nitrogen dioxide and diesel fumes. So I co-founded a company called Air Labs, who we then developed technology that can clean the polluted air. So there's units that kind of actually Marylebone Station now. We've just an amazing collaboration with Stella McCartney to clean her her London store and launch an air bubble, which kind of cleans the air inside the car.
Wow.
And so now I've moved to much more kind of away from Air Labs into a social impact, kind of what do I do next to make sure that the topic is still considered, but also, I guess now with UTMB, thinking about motherhood and thinking about where I can help in terms of making sure people can balance their lives and balance their work more effectively, because what I do seems quite natural to me, but I don't think a lot of other women feel able just to take that chance and kind of pursue everything they want to.
I think it's really interesting that you're so honest about the help that you've had, because actually it's that help which has helped you do so many things. But I think as women, maybe sometimes we don't talk about the help or the need for it.
It's almost like you see, and what frustrates me about some of the, I guess, the social media stuff is that people see these perfect lives and they think that's attainable, but it's not, because if you open up the lens, and I always say to people, if Alexis, the photographer, had zoomed back, he'd have seen next to you my husband handing me an avocado sandwich. You see my friend Matt, who was there kind of doing my head torch batteries. Just outside the sports hall, he'd have seen Margita, our nanny, playing with Danica, who was waiting for me to come out and give him a hug. That's the story. The story is not me, I've gone and done this on my own.
It's your support
network. It's my support network. And actually what we often don't share as mothers, we see kind of people in these CEOs who are mothers and like, wow, she's done it, why can't I? I'd love more than to say, this is my nanny, this is my PA, this is who does my daily admin around the house. These are all the tasks that most mothers have to do that I don't. And with my time, this is what I do instead. And I think the more of us that are honest about the childcare arrangements we have, the stuff around the house that invariably falls on the women to do, and how we share that out, the more of us go, you know what, if I didn't do X, I could do Y. And actually Y is much more valuable. So let's get some help with X.
So do you think you wouldn't be able to achieve what you've done maybe in the past 12 months if you didn't have that support system, because I suppose a lot of women perhaps don't have that, and so maybe it is quite tough to get out there and train. Or was you training before you managed to have a bit of childcare help and that type of thing?
I was trying, I guess, with so my oldest son was in full-time nursery because I was working as a CEO, but outside that I was doing an early drop-off and I was running to work. So I think run commute is brilliant. So all my training sessions pre having Cormac were on the run. It's quicker anyway. I can outrun any method of London transport, I'm pretty sure.
Do you know what? I don't doubt that, because for everyone listening in right now, Sophie literally arrived at the office with a backpack, which I would have taken to work this morning with all my meal prep in and stuff. And I asked her if she'd like me to put it in my office. And she said, no, it's fine. I'm just going to run with that. And I lifted it up and I was like, really? And lo and behold, she is.
It's a light one. I think anyone that run commutes realises, how do you fit in exercise in your day and actually making things quicker? So I used to run around doing all the errands. I think you can certainly fit in fitness anywhere and really breaking down your day and going, where can I do stuff? So it's fitting in things just wherever you can. I think it's doable, but what's really easier is saying, okay, having a friend come over, if they've got kids, you watch the two for an hour, you go and do a class or a run, they watch the two for an hour. Thinking how, like, your friends say, we'd like to help, great. Look after my children for 1 hour. Let me do something. Get the family involved. Just get any kind of support you can involved. People are far more willing to help than you think.
That's such a great tip. I hadn't heard of that one before.
I think it really is kind of making it okay for mums to ask for help.
Yeah.
And making it actually a strength thing, saying, you know what, I've got this inner strength and I'm like, I need this.
Have you had any injuries in the past which you're now like, I'm never going to get that again, so I do this in my training?
Oh gosh, yes. So I've been very lucky. I think doing a lot of weight training as a runner is really important, especially running specific, so kind of lunges, I do hamstring lunges and step-ins with big heavy weights, that your legs are never kind of in the same plane, so it's always like running. I've never really done squats, because when are your feet side by side when you're running?
Never.
So single leg, deadlift type things. But on Spartathlon, my quad exploded, pretty much exploded. I had a huge edema in it, and it was about mile 138. And I'd just been running on this camber and on concrete, which I'd never really done before. And it was just taking a little bit more pressure than the other one for 138 miles. So I had to limp the last 15 miles down a hill as quick as possible to make the time cut off. So I do a lot more kind of quad training, which is really important for UTMB for the downhills.
Yeah.
So a lot of kind of pressure on and off the quads in different ways. That's been the one big change I made.
And I'm really interested to know what you fuel all this training with.
So I am one of the people that I love food. I love sugary food. I love chips. I love ice cream. So for me, I think the more I exercise, actually, the healthier I eat. I used to run a lot faster because I could. I could go out in the morning and run 2 hours for fine. With breastfeeding, you cannot do that.
No.
I'd have been faint by 30 minutes in, because you're feeding another person. So at the moment, I have to eat for every run. We're kind of trying to be off sugar for January, which is difficult. But no, I think it's mostly right. It's a lot of kind of complex carbs. It's a lot of porridge, it's a lot of kind of lean meats and eggs. But the naughty bits around the edges, they kind of get taken care for by the miles.
Yeah.
I say, I'm not a pro athlete, so I do none of the stuff that you're supposed to do, like put your legs up and do your massage and do your supplement thing, and like never. I read it in the magazine and go, yeah, you should do this. And it's like, yeah, this is a great idea. Completely out the window. Sometimes I'm kind of worried. I mean, a lot of times I'm just like, how do I get home to the boys?
Yeah.
So the fastest mile I think I've ever run an ultra was on the North Downs Way 50. And I met this great girl, Helen, who actually then ran the UTMB with me. We were chatting away, missed a turn. And by that, we tacked on some bonus miles.
Oh, no.
Which wasn't good, because I was aiming for this last bus from the end. They'll get to the train station to get me home for bedtime for Donica. And when I realised what's happened, I looked at kind of the watch and was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to miss this bus. So the sprint I did in that last mile just to try and kind of get home to him. And then that was what I was thinking of. But you meet lifelong friends on these kind of, because you might meet someone and you're talking to them for 50 miles.
Do you think that's what running's brought to your life? Friendship?
Oh, so much. I mean, I've looked through kind of so many of my friends now. I mean, some from MBA, some from before, some from kind of social, but a lot of the ones that know me the best are from running. It's a type of person that's an ultra runner, but they're a really friendly bunch. So get anyone that finds running remotely scary. And I didn't join a run club for years because I found it scary and quite intimidating.
Yeah.
The ultra club's full of walkers. It's a little bit older. Yeah, it's full of a bunch of friendly people, so. And it's open to anyone. So you want to run an ultra? There's a 7 o'clock walker start for a lot of the 30-mile races.
Nice.
Go and walk it. You've still done an ultra. You do not have to run every step.
Wow. I think that is the perfect place to finish this run on. What a good run it has been with you.
Thank you.
So eye-opening to hear how you're fitting it all in and doing it all. It's amazing. And for everyone that's listening in, how can they follow your journey?
So after UTMB, I realised I had to work out how to use Instagram. So I'm ultra_Sophie.
Yeah.
And I'll be kind of sharing hopefully a few more of the ultra non-pregnancy, but also kind of keeping the kids along as well.
Amazing. Well, thanks very much, guys. Until next week.
Thank you so much for listening to Wellfar, your guide to conquering 26.2. If you've enjoyed this episode, please do take 30 seconds to rate and review us on iTunes. It really does make all the difference, and I and the team read absolutely everything you write, which means the world to us. New episodes will be released every Sunday on all the usual podcast platforms, so please do subscribe and never miss a notification. Until then, thanks again to all of you for listening and supporting us, and thanks to Mags Creative, the producers of this show.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.